In this episode, we are going to break down ANSI Z10, talk about the different sections, how you might be able to implement those, and we're also going to use this episode as a comparison to the previous episode covering ISO 45001, and we will then get into next episode topic of VPP, that safety management system. So we want to cover three different management systems that you have available to you for safety and talk about what each of them require. And that way you can make a decision as to whether or not you want to adopt any of these safety management systems or voluntarily comply with them, and which one would be best for you. So let's get into ANSI Z10 in this episode.
Welcome to the Safety Pro Podcast, powered by iReport Source, helping you manage safety one episode at a time. With the constant regulatory and workplace culture challenges businesses face, we'll provide you with all the relevant information necessary to achieve a safer, more productive workplace. No management theories, platitudes, or guru speak, just actionable info you can use right away. Now here's your host, the safety pro himself, Blaine Hoffman.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Safety Pro Podcast. As mentioned, we are going to cover another safety management system, this one being ANSI Z10. Now, we know by now that the application of a safety management system can drastically improve organizational safety performance. Even OSHA's partnership program, the VPP, relies on management system principles, and you can see the results those participants encounter right on the OSHA website. So, getting to ANSI, I wanted to dive into what ANSI Z10 is all about, kind of break down the requirements and get into some of those with you. So back in 1999, ANSI started the committee to begin work on what would become the Z10 standard. That committee, they looked at existing national as well as international standards in occupational safety and health. And, you know, initially they approved this in 2005, the ANSI Z10, and it was revised once and then reaffirmed in 2017. And more recently, the collaboration between ANSI and the American Industrial Hygiene Association was replaced on the Z10 committee by the American Society of Safety Professionals. It was previously known as ASSE. When I was a member, it was American Society of Safety Engineers, and has since rebranded to be called American Society of Safety Professionals, which is, of course, ASSP. That is why you're now going to see the standard titled ANSI/ASSP Z10. ANSI Z10 encourages participants to integrate with other management systems, to take their safety management system and make sure it's integrated with other, you know, business or management systems, mainly because most other systems, management systems in business, follow this plan, do, check, act, or PDCA model as the basis for continuous improvement, right? So it should be familiar to most organizations. And that's what I have been harping on since the first couple of episodes in this series, that really all of these are based on similar principles. And I wanted to cover that with you before getting into specific types of management systems, ISO, ANSI, and of course, we'll wrap it up with VPP in the next episode. But not only that it's just an incredibly useful approach. The stated purpose of the ANSI Z10 is to provide organizations an effective tool for continuous improvement of their safety and health performance. So when we look at, hey, we want to provide you a tool for the continuous improvement of your safety and health, what are standard continuous improvement tools or processes? So it makes sense that ANSI Z10 would integrate well with other business processes. The standard focuses mainly on the strategic aspects of policies and things that go into making sure that those are carried out, like safety and health policies are actually carried out. What ANSI Z10 does not do is provide companies with things like detailed procedures, written procedures, job instructions, things like that. So let's get into what is required by this voluntary standard. Like other voluntary standards, the ANSI ASSP Z10, it's broken down into sections. And according to its table of contents, The seven sections are as follows. 1. Scope, purpose, and application. 2. Definitions. 3. Management, leadership, and employee participation. 4. Is planning. 5. Implementation and operation. 6. Evaluation and corrective action. 7. Management review. So starting with scope, purpose, and application, just as in the case with ISO 45001, ANSI Z10 starts with this. All standards are going to start with this, right? They're going to kind of define the minimum requirements for the safety management system and what its primary purpose is. Again, provide a tool that organizations can use to reduce injuries, illnesses, and fatalities. Of course, the standard can be applied to any organization regardless of size and type, like most of these that you'll see. Definitions, of course, we covered that in ISO 45001 as well. It's just common terms and phrases used in what they mean when they reference them. That provides you context. So the third section, management, leadership, and employee participation. This one's going to be familiar, just as it was in ISO and what it will be in VPP as well. Top management has to mandate all parts of the organization to establish, maintain, implement the safety management system per this standard. So it all starts with management leadership saying, we are going to comply with every aspect of this standard once it's adopted. Now, this mandate starts with top management establishing a documented environmental health and safety policy. Just as in ISO 45001, this has to be a written policy. Companies have to make sure that, at a minimum, the safety policy includes the following items: protection and continual improvement of employee safety and health, meaningful employee involvement, require conformance with the organization's safety and health program requirements, and require compliance with established safety and health laws and regulations. So that was a minimum. That's where you start and you build from there. Also, the top leadership has to accept ultimate responsibility for safety and health by doing the things that we would come to expect in these various safety management systems. So I've got three of them listed here. One is provide financial and professional resources to carry out the management system requirements. The next one, define roles and responsibilities, accountability, and authority to carry out the management system requirements. That sounds familiar to you as well, as we cover that in ISO. And the third one that I have here is integrate the safety management system into other business systems and processes. This includes performance reviews, compensation, rewards, recognition programs. They've all got to be in line with the safety management system. Again, speaks to the systems approach. Employees also have to assume responsibility for various parts of the safety management system over which they have control, like following safety rules and procedures. All of this has to be communicated to every employee, as well as be made available to relevant external interested parties. And if you remember from the last episode, that could be anybody: employee representatives, attorneys, regulators, auditors, inspectors, even vendors and suppliers. Now, the second part of this third section is employee participation. The organization has to establish a process that ensures meaningful employee participation throughout all levels. So at a minimum, it has to provide employees the means, time, resources needed to participate in the planning, implementation, evaluation, corrective action, preventative actions that are required by the safety management system. Also, it has to provide employees access to information related to the safety management system and effectively remove all barriers to meaningful involvement. And remember, meaningful involvement is not simply taking part in things that are required of them by policy, but actually being involved in the decision-making process as it relates to safety and health. So meaningful involvement is key. The next piece here, section we're going to talk about, is planning. Now, ANSI states that the planning process goal is to identify and prioritize safety management system issues. These could be things like hazards or risks, just deficiencies in the management system, as well as opportunities for improvement. The organization has to also establish goals and objectives to improve upon the safety management system. And that's covered under this planning section. There are four parts to this section. One is a review process. Two is assessment and prioritization. Three is setting objectives. Four, implementation plans and allocation of resources. So I want to talk about the review piece, that first one. All right. I often mention the need to conduct a gap assessment in organizations, right? Well, so does ANSI. You need to identify the differences or the gap, right, between the organization's safety management system and or existing processes and systems and the requirements of Z10. Not only does this need to be done when implementing Z10, but also periodically. The organization has to document these activities. The activities that you should document include, and I've got, I just shotgunned this and wrote some of them down, but there are others. These are a good place to start. Relevant business systems and processes, operational issues like hazards, risks, and controls, previously identified issues, allocation of needed resources, applicable regulations, standards, and other EHS requirements, risk assessments, opportunities for employee participation, results of other audits, and of course, any other, you know, relevant activities that would impact the successful adoption and continued improvement of ANSI Z10. The next section, implementation and operation, this is where ANSI spells out which elements an organization needs for the implementation of the effective safety management system. These are the elements ANSI would consider the foundational elements or the backbone of the safety management system, and because they feed into the planning process that we just talked about. ANSI believes the implementation of these elements also generates the much-needed experience and knowledge that will be looped back into the planning process continually, okay? Not just initially, but on a continuous basis. The elements are as follows. One, risk assessment. Two, education, training, awareness, and competence. Three, communication. And four, document and record control process. Here I want to focus on the first element. The organization has to establish and implement a risk assessment process that addresses the nature of the hazards and the level of risks that could be expected in the business. In this element, right, the risk assessment element, ANSI spells out the use of the hierarchy of controls, design review, management of change, procurement processes, contractor management, and emergency preparedness, right? These all must be addressed to comply with this piece of the standard. All right, the next section, evaluation and corrective action. In this section, ANSI covers the requirements for processes to achieve the following. One, evaluate the performance of the safety management system through monitoring, measurement, assessment, incident investigation, and audits. Next, take corrective action when the organization discovers deficiencies. Kind of goes without saying, but they spell it out for you. Next one, consider the results of audits as part of the planning process and management review. And finally, the purpose is to help evaluate the safety management system performance by measuring the company's efforts at reducing risks. Remember the high level, you know, what is our overall effort yielding for us? Now, ANSI spells out five areas that will help do this. One, monitoring, measurement, and assessment. Two, incident investigation. Three, audit. Four, corrective and preventative action. And five, feedback to the planning process. Those five areas will help comply with this evaluation and corrective action section of the ANSI Z10. Remember, monitoring, measurement, and assessment, incident investigation, audits, corrective and preventative action, and feedback to the planning process. In the end, the findings and lessons learned from all of this will, again, loop back into the continuous process of improving the safety management system overall. So how well you spell this out, how well your people are trained and qualified to carry these out, and the results of which should go back into how you set goals and objectives, and you're going to need to make sure there's that connection, that continuous loop. That's what ANSI's talking about. The last section ANSI refers to is the management review. So here is where ANSI defines the requirements for occasional management reviews. The reason is, again, this is management review. This isn't your standard audit and risk assessment piece here. This is top management. The reason is that top management, along with key EHS leaders in the organization, these are top level, they have to do a strategic evaluation of the performance of the safety management system and then recommend improvements. Remember, the difference being that this speaks specifically to a top leadership strategic review. Okay? Here are some things to consider during any management review. Make sure you include any reduction of risks that have been identified. How can you gauge those or score them, if you will? Include something that covers the effectiveness of your company's ability to identify, assess, and prioritize risk. The effectiveness in addressing underlying causes and contributors to risks and deficiencies. Also, be sure to include input from employees, like safety culture surveys or periodic feedback, suggestion programs, things like that. The status of corrective actions determined also need to be considered here in this review as well. What is the status of corrective actions that you determined are needed? You know, how well are we at actually executing on what we say we're going to do? And also the progress on any stated safety management system goals and objectives in general. You know, what's the status of those? You need to be able to strategically look across the organization and ask yourself, you know, look, how good are we? I'm using air quotes here. How good are we at management of change, at project planning and execution, allocating resources, setting budgets? All of this goes into the overall performance of your safety management system. The results need to also be summarized in some way, right? Spelling out action items that top level management needs to address. These go into action plans with targets to achieve, as well as identifying those responsible for seeing them through, and then that's who will then carry them out. But top level management needs to be involved, and then, of course, produce this written summary or report, results report. So that's key. That's going to wrap all of that up for ANSI. Now, just to recap, all those sections that ANSI and ASSP Z10 has it: 1, scope, purpose, application; 2, definitions; 3, management, leadership, and employee participation; 4, planning; 5, implementation and operation; 6, evaluation and corrective action; 7, management review. Okay, I kind of broke it down for you section by section and pulled out, you know, my take on the at the high level what was most important about those sections. There are some details that ANSI gets into. Obviously, you would have to buy that standard as well, as you would with the ISO 45001. So which do you think you would recommend so far between the two, and why? I would love to hear your feedback on that. Look, I like aspects of both, but I would say the ANSI standard reads a little better. I mean, the way it's formatted, they formatted the standard into two columns. On the left-hand side, it spells out the standard requirement, right? And it's all numbered and referenced and everything, and it's a shall this and must do that, and it reads like a standard. But on the right-hand column, it actually offers recommendations, explanations, best practices related to each of those requirements. I mean, it's really easy to follow in that regard, and they give you some really good guidance. And if you read a part of the standard and you scratched your head and was like, man, how the heck are we going to do this? Look to the right-hand column, and they've probably broken down in plain language, like, hey, companies that achieve this have done some of the following, you know, and I included some of that, you know, in this podcast. You know, as I talk about these standards and break them down, you know, I'm doing the same thing. ANSI includes something like that, you know, that approach in their standard. So to me, it's a lot easier to read and interpret and understand. I like ANSI Z10 over 45001 for that reason. Again, let me know what you think between the two, ISO or ANSI at this point, because we still have to get into VPP, my personal favorite. I'm completely biased. I'm unashamed to admit that. And I love the VPP for many reasons that I will get into in the next episode. And it's also a standard you don't have to buy. You can just download it, and I'll show you how to do that as well. I'll have links to the CSP manual for that. But I will break down VPP in the next episode to round out this long series, all things safety management systems. I hope you learned something as I did in just diving into this and researching that, were interesting about safety management systems in general. They all share similar foundational elements. They're all based on the continuous improvement process and preventing, injuries and illnesses and fatalities through, effective design and, dare I say, anticipation of things that could go wrong. They want you to deploy tools you need to be able to predict failure before it happens, to analyze, things like with Conklin, when he says analyze what went right, repeatedly. Are those things actually achieving that result, or is it just luck so far? So look, you've got to kind of get a clear understanding by now that the first several episodes I had to get through, probably mostly for me to hear myself talk, but I wanted to break that down, especially for the younger safety pros that are coming into this industry, that we get all the book learning and we go through the program, collegiate programs, and we get out into the business and industry. And the one thing that was apparent to me as well early on is we have to understand other business processes, do a couple of tours of duty, if you will, in the quality department and in engineering, and look at how they solve problems and the tools and approaches they use. It's no different. What all these safety management systems require in the end is that we integrate with other business processes for that reason. So some of us, we've been saying this for years, for decades or more, and it's true. It's still true today. So that's something that is really, really important to get out of, not just should I do ISO, ANSI, VPP, and what are the differences between those programs, sort of nuts and bolts, but more foundationally, are we in a position to even consider any of these, regardless of whether it's 45001, Z10, or VPP? Do we have the infrastructure built to support the systems approach regardless? And that's key. So again, shoot me your feedback. Reach out on LinkedIn. I'm loving the interaction on LinkedIn, by the way. Lots of new connections every week. So keep those connection requests coming. I love to hear from you. And until the next Safety Pro podcast episode, please be safe.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Safety Pro podcast, powered by iReport Source, the all-in-one digital safety solution. For info on how you can request a free demo on all the capabilities of iReport Source to streamline your business's safety management system, head over to thesafetypropodcast.com. We look forward to helping you manage safety on the next episode of the Safety Pro podcast.